Hi, I'm Reed Keating, and this is Free Enterprise in 3 minutes. In this 226th episode, we're continuing to look at the economics of sports stadiums and arenas. Now, two episodes ago, we looked at the fundamental economics, and in the previous episode, we examined the history of the first half of the 20th century, when the rule was that pro sports stadiums and arenas were privately funded. The key shift away from privately funded major league sports facilities occurred after World War II in the early 1950s. Now, two factors were largely at work. First, since the Great Depression and World War II, government had grown tremendously, and many elected officials stood ready to extend the reach of the state throughout society. Second, Major League Baseball made it easier for a team to move by reducing the required vote for approving a move from being unanimous among owners in the league affected, that is, the American or National League, and a majority in the other league, to requiring a 3/4 vote in the affected league and no vote in the other league. That change came in 1953, and it opened the door to team owners playing cities against each other, and again, politicians, many politicians willing to play that game. So the first step was taken by the Boston Braves and elected officials in Milwaukee. Local officials had built a stadium, and the Braves left Boston for Milwaukee, announcing the move less than a month before the start of the 1953 season. There's no mistake who clearly benefited from this move: the Braves. The team, according to the Diamond Revolution, Neil Sullivan, quote, reversed their financial fortunes dramatically, making more money in their first homestand than they had during the entire 1952 season, close quote. The Braves' attendance indeed skyrocketed to 1.8 million in 1953, topping 2 million in each of the following four seasons, and just under 2 million in 1958. Of course, it helped that the Braves put a winning team on the field as well for each of those seasons, making the World Series in 1957, when they defeated the Yankees, and in 1958 when the Yankees returned the favor. Now, repeat performance came 1 year after the Braves moved to the first ballpark that was specifically built by government for a major league team. The St. Louis Browns were perennial cellar dwellers in the American League, having won only one pennant from 1901 through 1953. Justifiably, the team's attendance always ranked as the most atrocious in the league. Meanwhile, Baltimore had success as a minor league baseball city, and pressure built to get a major league ball club, according to Michael Gershom in his book Diamonds, The Evolution of the Ballpark. After World War II, voters approved a $2.5 million bond to upgrade Municipal Stadium, which had been built in 1922 for football. Two additional $2.5 million bonds were given the thumbs up in the early 1950s, with the total $7.5 million effort poured into Memorial Stadium in order to attract major league teams. As pointed out by Bruce Hamilton and Peter Kahn in their essay, Baltimore's Camden Yards Ballparks. Interestingly, the NFL's Dallas Texans actually moved into Memorial Stadium first, becoming the Baltimore Colts in 1953. And of course, the St. Louis Browns became the Baltimore Orioles. The precedent had been set, and from that point forward, the new exception was the privately funded big league ballpark, stadium, or arena. But sports subsidies weren't driven by the economics of sports, but instead by the willingness of government to provide handouts to sports teams and team owners responding accordingly. Thanks for listening. If you appreciate this podcast, please consider getting my weekly Economist books. The Weekly Economist 3 just came out. They're available at Amazon.com and at RayKeatingBooksAndMore.com. Like and follow us on Facebook at Free Enterprise Economics and on Twitter at Free Enterprise 7. And subscribe to the Free Enterprise in 3 Minutes podcast. Take care and hey, think more like an economist.